working for, you know, $1.50 more. I was making about $8.50 with two kids and a mortgage and a car payment. That doesn't cut it. You know, it's just doesn't cut it. So I was just believing God for this. And then, you know, and I started listening to all the other people ask, hey, what are you asking for? What are you believing for? Well, I'm believing for $1.50 more just to get the $10. Just $1.50. Oh, you'll never get it. You'll never get that. They're only going to give you a raise just enough to cover your insurance, your premiums. You'll never get it. Guess what I started listening to and believing? What they were saying. This is over 19 years ago, so people try to get on me for that. Oh, you're on belief. Sit back in your religious circle. Get off of that. And so I go in the office, and I'm not fully confident because I was listening to what everyone else was saying. And as I was asking him for a $1.50 raise, and he said, no, we can't do it. There's no way we can do that. I said, all right. He goes, I can give you a quarter. And I settled. I settled. I didn't go back and negotiate and all that stuff. I was just trying to be a good employee, what have you. I said, but nevertheless, you know, God showed me something. He goes, you know what? You were double-minded in that. And you know what? I was in unbelief in that scenario, and I haven't been back since. That was over 15, 16 years ago, and never been back since. I've never, ever doubted God and his word and what he says about what we can have and what he has already given us. So it is yours. Everything that Jesus has done on the cross, it is yours. So don't believe that you can't, well, it's my past, I can't do it. Listen, everyone has a past. God ain't concerned about that. Saul had a past. Paul. He had a past. And sometimes we get so caught up on our past that it just cripples us and we end up living in fear. We can become paralyzed because we don't ever want to move into what God has for us. So don't let anyone talk you down about your past. Your past is exactly where it's at. It's in the past. God is not, when he sees you every single day, he's not looking at your past. People may, and they'll try to condemn. Don't let them. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. Yeah. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you that, Lord, we have your word, and you require us to speak it and believe in it, Lord. And we just thank you for everything you've done. We just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 16:9, it says this, now when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. There they are. They did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their what? Unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. These guys had to see it in order to believe it. They did not believe it. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. If they take the COVID vaccine, they will not hurt them. Okay. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I'm not saying go take it because it won't hurt you. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. The first person that Jesus decided to appear to was Mary Magdalene, a woman who had seven demons cast out of her. Now, how many of you would have that been your first choice? Let's find somebody that is not credible. Let's find somebody that has a jacked up reputation. Let's find someone that everyone looked at and knew that they had some demons in them, and You know what? And I'm going to be the first one, and this story is being told throughout the whole world. Jesus' ways, God's ways, is higher than ours. We would never think of something like that. We would go to the first person that we know and be like, you know what? Yeah. That person with prestige, honor, respectful throughout the community. We'll go to that person first before we actually go. I said, Jesus went to the first one that had seven demons cast out of her. He shows no favoritism. He shows no favoritism at all. And that's the beauty about God. I mean, it's like if he did it for Saul, if he did it for Trenton, if he did it for Denise, he'll do it for me. If he did it for Erica, if he did it for Luke, he'll do it for me. He's not going to change that up at all. But you have to believe. It isn't just going to fall on your lap. You've got to believe. You know, some people may question whether or not you can hear from the Lord. Can you really hear from God? Can you? I said, yeah, if you sit down and talk with him. Now, how do you know it's his voice? Because it'll line up with his word. He isn't going to have you doing something crazy. He isn't going to have you doing something that's going to violate his word. And now you step out in faith. And if you miss it, you miss it. Own up to it. Lord, I miss hearing your voice on that one. But I want to hear from you. Jesus revealed himself to all who believed. He didn't reveal himself to unbelievers. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts, first chapter, you can read, but it says that there was 120 that stayed, but there was 500 people that actually saw him ascend into heaven. That's 500 eyewitnesses. Not one person who went and told 499. Those aren't witnesses. The one person who was there would have been a witness. Everyone else just caught the story. There was 500 witnesses. He revealed himself to everyone who believed. That's a requirement for believers. We should be in the business, B-I-Z. N-E-S-S, of believing what the word says. That's what we're called to do, is believe. I believe God's a healer. I believe healing's still for today. I believe that God still saves, still delivers, still sets free. His word hasn't changed. He hasn't fallen off his throne because of your situation. And no matter what you're going through, he can turn it around. He's the God of your future. He wrote your story out. I like that song. You hold it all together. He wrote your story out already. And just like how he told Jeremiah, I have plans for you, Jeremiah. Plans that's not going to harm you. Well, Lord, I'm going through some stuff right now that's pretty jacked up. Yeah, but if you really think about it, is it really touching you? Is it really causing you physical pain and any ailment? If we just keep our focus on him. Listen, I've been lied on multiple times on stuff that I know I never even did. And guess what? I ain't fazed by it. You know why? He holds it all together. If people want to lie, they're going to lie. The Bible says, listen, persecution you're not redeemed from. If you live a godly life, you will be persecuted. That's part of life. People are going to talk about you. Now, it's up to you on whether or not you allow them to say it to your face without any correction. Don't you allow nobody to bully you. Don't you allow nobody to manipulate you. Don't you allow anyone to control you. See, when toxic people can't control you, they'll try to control the way people see you. They'll be out the ones slandering your name, doing all this other stuff. And here's take it a step further. When they can't control you, here's the thing. They'll try to control you through other people. There's no shame in their game. I got something for that. Keep playing. You know why? Because the Lord reveals it to me every single time. He hasn't been wrong. Mary Magdalene wasn't the only one there Jesus had appeared to. In Matthew chapter 28, you will see that she wasn't alone. The other Mary, the Bible describes, was the mother of James and Joseph. And in Luke 24:10, it says it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other woman with him, who told these things to the apostles. And you will find a little bit about Joanna in Luke 8:3. If you wanted to go there, just write that there. But Joanna was another woman who was had an evil spirit in her too. Why is Jesus revealing himself to people that had these jacked up pasts? Because it didn't matter. He healed them, delivered them, set them free. He wasn't holding them against their own past. How many people in this world can actually say, I've seen Jesus, the Messiah, physically with their own eyes? And yet, man, he is so awesome. All these women became followers of Jesus because he delivered them from those evil spirits. Yet they were the first ones to the tomb. They went and told his disciples what happened, and they did not believe. They didn't believe. Verse 12, 13, he says, after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. These two men, one of them was Cleopas, and some believe that the other one was Simon Peter, but they don't really say it. And they were traveling to a road to a place called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles north of Jerusalem, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they talked and they reasoned, the Bible says that Jesus drew near to them and asked them what they were talking about and why they were so sad. Well, we know why they were sad, because Jesus had died. And now, since they didn't believe that story, guess what? I mean, they're thinking that somebody came and took his body or what have you. But Jesus is walking with them. He says, so Cleopas begins to explain how Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet in verse 18, and was mighty in deed and word. If you got that in your Bible, mighty in your Bible verse, different verses may say miraculous works. Jesus was mighty in deed and word before God and men and all the people. And he goes on to explain how the chief priests and the rulers delivered them to condemn them to death and crucify him. So as he's explaining these events and other events that had taken place, Jesus said to them in verse 25 of Luke 24:35. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We have a personal relationship with Jesus. Can you imagine walking down the road and talking with him and walking with him as he's opening up these scriptures to him? You're talking about the greatest storyteller of all time. And he's opening up these scriptures to him. He is the Word personified. And just as they had that relationship with Jesus, as he was walking, we can do that every single day with him. He's never left you. He knows what you're going through. See, we have the Holy Spirit in our everyday lives. Now, he can be with us everywhere. He can be with Mark. We're Mark on his job. He could be with me when I'm on my job. He can be with, you know, Doug at his, I say he can be with all of us at the same time. That is the awesome thing about having a relationship with Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit and that relationship with the Holy Spirit, he can be with you and you can talk with him. You can converse with him. You can laugh with him. You can ask questions and things of that nature. Guess what? I mean, if you're really, really intimate, I'm telling you, it'll get to the place to where you ain't gonna want to do anything else but get into that place. And don't allow anyone to tell you, again, that's those people that want to try to control, just because you're spending time alone with God. It's called solitude, not isolation. Isolating, you're just trying to get away from everybody. You're just getting alone with you. Solitude, you're getting alone with Jesus. And Jesus went to a solitude place to pray. After a while, got away from the crowd, went to the mountains and just prayed to the Father. And sometimes we need to do that. Seriously, honestly, ask yourself a question. How often have I done that in my life in this past summer, just the beginning of the summer? How much time have I really spent in solitude and prayer with God? Or have I just been on the go? And if we're honest with ourselves, we can all say, I can probably do more time. Myself included. And I don't really like being around a lot of people. That's that kind of introvertness stuff in me. But yes, that's coming out. God is rebuking that mess out of me. He says, verse 29 and 30 says, now they compelled Jesus to stay for the evening. And then when they sat down to eat, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them to eat. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he was talking with us on the road, while he opened up the scriptures to us? Then they went from Jesus opening up the scriptures to them, opening up their home to Jesus. They went from information, gathering up a lot of information about the scriptures, to having a relationship with them. They went from a Bible study to a personal relationship with them. See, it's not enough just to read the word, but we got to spend time with him. We got to open up to him. They invited him in. We need to invite God into our lives and into our own personal life. He's not going to barge in and just do it to you. He's not going to force himself. We got to invite him in. Every single day, we got to invite him in. Make that time. When I was doing it with the youth, I was doing youth ministry, we called it God time. If it's just 10 minutes out of the day, and you know what? He deserves so much more. But you got to start somewhere. 10 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of reading, 10 minutes of prayer, 10 minutes of just spending time in the Word and with the Holy Spirit. 10 minutes. Get your God time in. Because your relationship with him, God, things are going crazy, chaotic in my life right now. And I'm talking about your lives. Get to the one who has the answer. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation for any other, for there is no other name under heaven given by man whereby we must be saved, whereby we must be delivered, whereby we must be healed, whereby we must be protected, whereby we must be saved. God is the one who saves you. You have to let him in. In verse 13, it says, and then they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Luke 24:13, I believe. Seems to be a common theme here. Them not believing. Are you believers? How many believers we got in there? We're all believers. How many of you believe that Jesus died for you? He paid the price. How many of you believe that he's forgiven you of your past? Your sins. Has been forgiven, wiped. The blood of Jesus. How many of you believe that he heals? He still heals today. See, the same Jesus back then is the same Jesus today. He ain't changed. And some people believe, like in this manuscript, as far as Mark is concerned, that doesn't exist. I'm going to get to that later. Now, all the time Jesus had told them that this would happen, all the teaching had been done in the synagogues, out in the public venues. He healed, he raised the dead, he cleansed the lepers, he set people free. All these things, they still did not believe because their hearts were still hardened. If they have a hard time, sometimes we can have a hard time. It's easy to say this, but when we're going through some stuff, all right, God, where you at? I need you to step in. Don't get down on yourself. Don't Don't get down on yourself. Don't beat yourself up over that. He's already got a plan worked out for you. Remember that lesson plan that we were for some of the adults on Wednesday nights? You've already got it, so quit trying to get it. Everything that God is going to do, He's already done it for you. You got to say it and believe it. That name it, claim it, you've got to say it and believe it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe the things in which he said, he shall have them. Say it, believe it. Say it, believe it. Say it, believe it. Well, I don't feel like saying it. Then you're going to have a hard time. It takes me about 3.5 hours to get a message ready. I talked to Pastor West. He said, I can put one together about an hour. The reason why it takes me 3.5 hours is because when I read it, I stand up and I get to preaching. And I'll preach for 20 minutes and then I'll come back and I'll write a little bit out and then I'll get to reading again and studying again. And then I'll get up and I'll begin to pace and I'll preach for another 20 minutes and stuff just to myself. I'm preaching it over myself. I'm prophesying over myself. I'm speaking it over myself. I'm saying it and I'm believing it. And some of you need to start saying it and believing it. Stop saying what you're seeing and start speaking what you want to see. Come on. You realize that the enemy just wants to just jack up your life and jack your family's life up? And all we can do is just talk about what's going on, which isn't bad. But all I'm saying is what I said last week, put your butt and start preaching the word, start speaking the word over your life, over your children's life. I don't care how old they are. Begin to speak it. Because when you begin to speak it, you're going to begin to act on it. And if they see you acting on it, then they're going to say, okay, something's wrong with mom and dad here. What's going on? But it's going to stir them up because they're watching you and how you're handling your situations. Who are you turning to, God or to the bottle? Say it and believe it. Two things that are vital in a Christian's life. The men who walked with Jesus physically here on this earth, and yet they still did not believe. But Jesus rebuked their unbelief. How many times you've been in a tough spot and God made a way out for you? Victory after victory after victory after victory. Well, this new thing is coming on. Victory after victory after victory. But this new thing is here. Victory after victory. He has not changed. Maybe he just ran out of power this week. I used it all up. I used all of his grace up. All of his mercy up. No, you didn't. Stop beating yourself up. And start seeing Jesus how he sees you. He sees you just like him. You're just like Richard. You're just like Jesus. Inwardly. You may have a different figure. Body. We'll work on that. Stop beating yourself up. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Stop beating yourself up. Well, I didn't do this with my kids. I said, well, it's never too late. It's never too, what they won't, it's never too late. You begin speaking the word. There's some jacked up stuff there, just like in the garden. Guess what? You can till that stuff up. Till it up. Now you got a nice little foundation there. Now you can get some of that topsoil and put some seed there and what you want. I'm going to spread some good seed in them. I want some good seed laid down. And some people, some of the men may not like that expression last week. I talked about the hearts and the garden and stuff like that. Well, let me, because can't nobody come into your garden unless you allow it. That's your heart. Let me man it up for you. Can't nobody put their own tools in your tool chest. That's your tool chest. And you got it nice and order and everything else. I said, can't nobody just take something from you and not borrow it and all that other mess. No. That's your tool chest. Your heart is your tool chest. I don't do gardening, Pastor. All right. You working on your car. Hey, you bring it back, Jack. That's one. Now I want y'all to answer this question honestly. What can stop you? Yourself. You can stop you. That's it. That's why the enemy will use people to work on you. Because you can stop you. Can't nobody else stop you unless you allow it. About broke my ankle. That's all right. God's a healer. Come on. Verse 15 through 16, he says, and he said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Jesus commissioned them to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is the good news. It is not bad news and good news. It is good news, even though the bad news is true. If you don't receive them, you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, man. You're going to burn. But that's not good news to anybody. You burn in the lake of fire. The good news is the gospel is what Jesus has done for you in spite of who you were. While you were yet still a sinner, Jesus died for you. He saved you. He delivered you. That's the good news. That's the good news. Sometimes it's too good to be true on what he's done for you. And he says, and these signs will follow those who believe. Verse 17. In my name, they will cast out demons. Like Mary Magdalene had demons. Pastor, I've never cast out a demon in my life. I know Pastor West has. I've never done that. And the thing is, I'm waiting. I ain't worried about it. You ready to do that? I said, no, I don't go throughout my day wanting to know if I can cast out a demon. I don't go around chasing demons. See, when you walk into a place in that territory, Jesus is with you. So if anybody want to act out, you got the power of God operating on the inside of you. You ain't got to back off. Well, that's freaking me out over there. Look at their head is turning 180 degrees. They're spitting stuff. Their eyes are weird and bugging out. And you ain't got to be afraid of nothing. The greater one lives on the inside of you. He says, these signs will follow those who... Actually had a young fella say, well, that's not for everybody. Incline thy ear. Of course not, because you have to believe. I believe. If you don't believe, keep your unbelief to yourself. Because I believe. He was a Calvinist. Good young man. Matter of fact, I said it definitely moved me to the place to where I'd done more studying and just trying to back up what I said, what I believed. So I like that. Everyone will get that. Instead of stepping into and flowing the way they're supposed to, they will spend countless hours studying and trying to explain stuff away like this. And all God said was, believe. I'm not trying to reason out scriptures to fit my own lifestyle. It says believe. And some people believe that these passages right here weren't written, were added later on. I'm saying these got to be some of the most boldest people ever to add something in there to be able to do what Jesus had done. Who would want to do that and be like, yeah, you're going to be able to do these types of things. You will cast out demons. You will speak in new tongues. You will lay hands on the sick. You will do all these other things. Why would anybody want to add that to that? I mean, my goodness, as if your faith is hasn't been tried already. They've got to be some bold people. But see, we know in scripture in John 14:12, it says this right here. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me. This is Jesus talking. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. So not only Mark says it, but Jesus also said it in John. Well, I don't believe that's for me, Pastor Tim. I said, well, you're in the wrong church. You're in the wrong church. Am I going to make you do it? No. But I'm just letting you know, all you have to do is believe. That's what he requires. Say it and believe it. Why do I need a 5-point system on how to get this going right? I said, say it and believe it. Why don't you just let God take care of that? Well, I need to be in 15 different classes and stuff like that. I said, listen, Jesus didn't have classes then. The Bible says it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And you want to have 15 different classes in order to try to break the yoke and break it down and make it out to be, well, we need understanding in this. You ain't got to know how a kidney functions in order to lay hands on it and heal it. We're doing too much. We're trying to overcomplicate stuff. Yeah, it makes us sound smarter, but you know, Paul said, I didn't put my faith in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How simple is that? Preach Jesus and him crucified, and then demonstrate. Cuts out all the fluff. Sounds great. Man, he read about 30,000 books this year. What do you got to show for it? Well, he's just well read. Great. He's in a class of his own. But Paul said, I consider all that stuff dung compared to what he learned by the Holy Spirit. Not to say anything wrong with that. Come on. Because I still study. I still read books. I still listen and everything else, because you still got to grow. You got to grow in these things. I just don't want to explain the word away to where it just is so watered down that it doesn't ever work in my life. And then I end up just trying to do all the works myself in my own power. I don't want to do that. I want to stay out dependent upon Jesus. His power. Say it and believe it. Verse 18 says this, it will take a person, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick. Who will lay hands on the sick? Believers. Us. I'm not in this competition mode. I'm in this dominating mode. Jesus dominated. Religious leaders were in competition. You mean you tell me you ain't competitive? I'm very competitive. I'll knock you out. I'm very competitive. I grew up with 5 brothers. Very competitive. But I'm not trying to compete with the devil. I'm here to dominate him. You want to compete with him, you just continue to look at what he's doing, and you got to spy on this and do all that other. You're competing. I'm dominating. And as I'm walking right on by you, see you later. You dominate. Stuff going on in your household, that's the enemy jacking it up. Dominate. Take your authority. Use your authority. It ain't that hard. Get into the Word. Find out what it says. Write it down. Print it out. Put it on your door. Put it in your car. Put it in the bathroom. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your closet. And speak the Word, and don't you dare back down. Some people would have those things inscripted on their wall. As for me and my house, we will what? There ain't no other option. As simple as that is a very, very bold statement. That is a great profession of your faith. We will serve the Lord. Ain't no way around that. We may miss it. We may get, you know, problems may come, but we will serve the Lord. You have to believe. This is for every believer. This isn't just for Pastor Tim. This isn't just for certain leaders, certain people. This is for everybody that chooses to believe. Just as we read earlier, a woman who had 7 demons cast out of her went to the tomb and Jesus revealed himself to her. And now this story is told all around the world. God does not care about your past. Jesus knew you were going to deal with some crazy stuff already. He knew that. Yet he still died for you. He knew you were going to go through some trouble. He knew you were going to have some marriage problems. He knew that loved one was going to pass away. He knew all of those things. Don't you think it's important to spend time with him? So that it doesn't come as a shock. So that it doesn't take you by surprise. You know, when he was told that Lazarus was sick, I understand. I said, well, why you keep using Jesus? I mean, man, he's way up here where we are. I said, because Jesus is our measuring stick. That's why he says the works that I do. He didn't say the works that your neighbors did. He don't want you looking at other people because that's competitive. He wants you looking at him because he dominated. People don't like that. I don't give a rip. Stop trying to compete against everybody. If you're in sports, compete. Dominate. I'm not saying that. People will just take it way too far. Well, he don't like coaches that yell. I said, no, I don't like coaches that are filled with egos and it's all about them. You big baby. That's what I don't like. Don't get it twisted. It's about the kids. Teach them. Well, we're training them up. Teach them. What are you teaching them? How to pout? Who wants to listen to somebody for 45 minutes, stand up there and just pout? Teach them. Dominate. Walk with the authority that God had on this earth, that Jesus had. It's his power, not your man-made power. It's his authority, not your self-appointed authority. So then after the Lord, in verse 19, has spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. He was confirming the word through what? Signs. Are people actually preaching the word then if there ain't no signs? Woo-hoo. You can't get away from that. Well, we just ain't going to go that route, Pastor Tim. All right, that's on you. But if I went with what you did, we'd both be wrong. God is not going to force himself on you. Jesus is not going to force himself on you. Holy Spirit is not going to force himself on you. You got to invite him in. And if we don't invite him in, we're going to continue to struggle. See, he went from being a guest to being the host. He took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. And then their eyes were opened. They went from having a Bible study to having a personal relationship. Sometimes we need to put books down and just, Lord, what are you telling me right now? I know I got all this stuff that I need to do, but you know what? Some quiet time. I just need to hear from you. Because he will show you things to come. He will tell you those things. Hey, you need to, don't go there. Why? They got something planned for you. Don't go there. But if you do, understand something here. I got your back. You ever had, anybody ever had those gut feelings with their kids? You don't need to do that. That's the Holy Spirit telling you that. Don't bypass that. Oh, it'll be all right. He's telling you for a reason. And some people don't listen to that, and then it ends up something happening. Hope. It's a good thing, Andy. God knows your situation. He saw it from the beginning. Look at me. He ain't mad at you. So don't you be mad at him. You let that go. Come here. Come here. You let that go. I don't want this to be weird. Okay. Can you just raise your hand? Raising a hand is kind of like a sign of surrender.
Talk to you, big guy.
Father God, I just thank you for this man. In the name of Jesus, Lord. As you begin to mend his heart. Heal his heart, Lord. Restoration in every area of his life, Lord. You are the healer. You are the deliverer. We thank you, Jesus. Thomas, where you at? Yes, sir. Andy, stay right there. Yes, 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 yes. Can you just give him a hug? A hug. Just a hug. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Don't. Yeah, you're good. You're good. You're good. Yes, sir. Ran into this gentleman yesterday, and he was very thankful for it. Hallelujah. Say it. Believe it. Don't speak what you keep seeing. Speak what you want to say. And you know that because you grew up on that. Right. You went to school for it. Right. It's still in you.
Yes, it is.
What is that one song? This is a song that I used to listen to when I woke. When I worked at the, I used to work at Taco Grande for years ago, but there used to be a song where they said, "Put me in, coach." Y'all know that song? Are you ready?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. You got to get there. But when you're ready, I'm telling you, it's, things are going to shift. But say it and believe it. Say what you want to see. And it's all according to the Word of God. Say it and believe it. I'm not going to give you this big old prophetic, "Thus saith the Lord." I'm just telling you what the Word of God says, because it's always, always been true. Say it and believe it.
I allowed the word to escape my lip.
Yeah. And sometimes we can just repeat the things that's going on in our life over and over and over again, and we don't realize that death and life are where?
In the power of the tongue.
Your tongue
and life.
For your life.
That's right.
Your tongue for your life. So you can curse those things. See, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you can speak death to the situation that you're going on, and then speak life over it. Curse it, then speak life over it. All right?
I appreciate you, brother.
Come on.
You were an answer to prayer.
Hallelujah. Get more suntan. They were out at the lake. God loves you so much, Rhonda. Whatever you're holding on to, you can let it go. You can give it to him. You don't always have to be the strong one. Because you have been for many years. Just trust him. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. Trust him. Restoration. Lord, we thank you for that. Things just keep getting better and better, don't it?
Yep.
By faith.
Yep.
Don't stop speaking it. You're just like him. Inwardly. He's going to turn it around. Don't worry. I believe it. I like a good comeback story. Love it. I like being the underdog. Even though you're not in the kingdom. Because we just go from faith to faith, from glory to glory. We've got the victory. Christ always causes us to triumph. I mean, but I do like an underdog. I like the underdog. Thank you, Jesus. Chris, don't hesitate to speak up when you have to. At work. You know what's been in you for a while. Is that true or is that accurate, close? But don't hesitate. Pull the trigger. Hallelujah. my baby. Talking to TJ. No, it's fine. I'm just kidding. Just wait. Hey, Shadavra Sunday. There he is. We're going to speak about faith, a man with a restored hand. You got some strong parents there, bro. I'm letting you know that. And some great friends. You believe? You believe. Okay. That's good. You know, one of the ways that you can, if you seem to be a person that just likes to barge in people's lives, all you have to do is just ask, and they'll tell you. I literally have people just, and I'm not saying because they know who I am or what have you. I just ask a question, and they, because it's on their heart, they just begin to spill out. They just begin to say something. Because sometimes people just need to share their side of the story. And I'm not saying, let's just do that all the time. But when you can just go up to people and say, how's everything going, man? You good?
Good.
How's your marriage?
Good.
Scale of 1 to 10.
You can always use some help.
Okay. No, I'm just messing with you. And I hate talking. I don't hate it. I just don't talk much. But God is so good. And all He wants for you to do is just believe Him. Believe. Believe that He can restore this. Love never, ever gives up. Can you imagine Jesus? Can you ever picture Jesus giving up on you? He won't do that. So don't be giving people a cheap knockoff version of what God has given you. Switcheroo. Sometimes you can love from a distance. Well, Father God, I just thank You for today. I thank You for all You've done, Lord. I thank You that You are so good. That we don't have to go throughout this day in this week or this year believing unbelief. But we can believe Your word and we believe what You have done. You are the God of restoration. Lord, I ask that You heal some of these hearts in here that are hurting. You know where they're at. If they're getting ready to jump ship, You can bring them back. We just bind the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. We bind them from marriages. We bind them from these families. We speak life over them, healing over them, deliverance over them in the name of Jesus, that no good thing You will keep from us. Lord, and we just thank You for all that. We give You all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.